I realize that this is a piece of Oscar bait that didn't catch anything. Like, it failed even on those terms. But I am, you know, I was amusing myself just hypothetically imagining the sort of audience that went to see it. Like a sort of self-consciously, like, upper middle brow art house audience who went to see this and was like, you know, we're here at the art house and we're seeing a classy picture, you know, not like those... those dumb movies that play at the multiplex. You know, this is a serious movie about, like, serious things, you know, historical figures, you know, this is real movies.
Well, evidently it worked on some people because, you know, one of our show's minor patron saints, Roger Ebert, he gave it 3.5 out of 4 stars. He seems to have loved it.
I love Roger Ebert. You know, he rocks. It's so amazing that, like, at times he could have very good taste. His writing about somebody like Ozu or Herzog is genuinely illuminating. He had such a broad palette that one minute he's giving 4 stars to Bad Lieutenant, the next minute he's giving 3.5 stars to Hyde Park on Hudson.
Let's go into his review a little bit. Maybe we can glean some answer as to what he liked about it. And perhaps, you know, maybe we'll finish it with egg on our faces. Maybe he saw something we didn't. Bill Murray, he writes, wouldn't be my first thought for an actor to play President Franklin D. Roosevelt, but he may have been the right choice. But he may have been the right choice for Hyde Park on Hudson. The role requires him to show Roosevelt as a sometimes lonely and sad man whose vacation getaway in his mother's family mansion, Springwood, near Hyde Park in upstate New York. We're accustomed to thinking of Roosevelt as a powerful man, elected 4 times to the presidency and the leader of the free world in World War II. Here we see him as the captive of a female-dominated private life, where his mother, Elizabeth Wilson, his wife, Eleanor, Olivia Williams, and his secretary, Missy, Elizabeth Marvel, pretty much run things.
Wait, what? That's not what I got from this movie.
That is not my impression at all. To this domain in the summer of 1939, he invites a 6th cousin.
Okay, wait, can I actually, sorry, get back to that point that Roger Ebert made? It's like, yes, it's a female-dominated house, and the movie is doing that strategically to let him off the hook for everything else. The movie is saying, hey, listen, yeah, it is a little weird that he made his cousin give him that hand job in the poppy field, but don't you see, he respects women. They run so many of his affairs. How can he hate women? His mom's one.
Yeah. I'm still thinking about the way the late great Mr. Ebert chose to phrase the next bit. He says, to this domain in the summer of 1939, he invites a 6th cousin, Margaret Daisy Suckley. Now, obviously, he means he invites his 6th cousin, but he could have said he invites Margaret Daisy Suckley, his 6th cousin. But the way he's written it, it makes it sound like there are 5 other women who are all his cousins. He's running a cousin-based polycule. He invites a 6th cousin, Laura Linney, for a visit and craftily begins a sweet romance with her under the eyes of the others who understand much and accept much. Murray makes a number of good choices for the character. He's smaller and thinner than Roosevelt, but he wears his summer hat at a jaunty angle, keeps his cigarette. I mean, so yeah, who are you complimenting here?
That's not my number one of good choices. It's like when that's your first choice.
Yeah, I mean, shout out to the costume people, I guess. He keeps his cigarette holder tilted high and has quiet humor in his speech. It was well but not widely known that Roosevelt was a polio victim who had the cooperation of the press corps never photographing him in a wheelchair. His convertible is modified, blah, blah, blah. There's just some more exposition here.
So wait, his case for Bill Murray's performance is that he wore his hat at a jaunty angle. He had the cigarette holder like Roosevelt did, and he had a quiet humor in his speech. I mean, I'm sad that Ebert's not alive because I have a bridge in Brooklyn to sell him right now.
To this bucolic retreat in June 1939, he receives guests whose visit could change the course of world history. Citation needed on that one, buddy. England's King George V.
Is he just copying the press notes? This is...
Yeah, he's just... Yeah, Ebert was really phoning this one in. He was like... This is like when someone writes an article and they just kind of like copy and paste the executive summary. So the king and queen make a detour from their state visit to Canada, hoping to get Roosevelt's pledge to join the war against Hitler. This is officially a social visit, and actually their crucial meeting with each other takes place late at night when George curses his stammer and Franklin curses his polio. Standing up with great difficulty and making his way by holding onto his desk, FDR explains that the public has little idea of his paralysis and gives a bracing talk to Birdie. Daisy isn't present, of course, although the whole film is presented as her point of view. After her death at 100 in 1991, the story of her fling with Roosevelt was found in a case containing her letters and journals. My understanding is that that's still contested by historians, but I could be wrong. As Daisy, Laura Linney plays a 50-ish single woman with great sympathy and affection for her distant cousin. Roosevelt uses her as a confidant, and there's so much just plot exposition here.
Okay, here's the last paragraph. This is where the meat of it is. Finally, we have some meat in this review. This isn't a serious historical film. Ebert is correct on that point. It plays different instruments than Spielberg's Lincoln. That's also true. That he is right that it is not in the same class as Lincoln. Murray, who has a wider range than we sometimes realize, finds the human core of his FDR and presents it tenderly. Much of the film is a comedy, including a typical American picnic at which the royals are served something called a hot dog. Elizabeth is not thrilled, but Birdie digs in gamely. Eventually, America joined in the war against Hitler. Daisy was there. I mean, this is the most C-minus, D-plus essay I've ever read. You know, Ebert was a good writer, but I've never seen a more phoned-in review. But I will say it is nice that Ebert, himself ailing at this time, just wanted to go to the movies and enjoy them.
Why couldn't he write that exact same review and just give the film 2 stars? I don't understand. Yeah.